Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Classroom DNA with Phyllis Austin, increasing and reaching your child's full potential. Each week, our objective is to help you as a parent, guardian, or loved one direct the path of a young person by empowering you with knowledge and understanding. Each week, you will be enlightened and moved into a position of positive parental involvement and influence. I am Phyllis Austin, and I am the founder of the National Parent Education Center, where we educate parents on education, help parents create quality education for their child, and advocate with parents on educational issues. Good morning, and welcome to Classroom DNA with Phyllis Austin, and I'm your host, Phyllis Austin. Today, we are talking about our national online classroom, and I'm going to speak from the heart this morning. In 2001, I found that I can't really just say it was just me. You know how you gather a group of your friends and say, let's do something, and I'll tell you how that came about. But we eventually started what has now become to be known as the National Parent Education Center. And our sole purpose is to educate parents on education. And I say this, if you ask who we are, it's In My Shoes, Inc. That is our charitable 501c3. It's a community organization. We have experienced educational strategists. I mean, we do business as the National Parent Education Center. We teach parents how to recognize, create, and advocate for a quality education for their child's learning needs. Our mission is to support, educate, and help parents resolve educational issues to attain and maintain the highest possible level of quality education that meets their child's educational needs. And that's what we've been doing since 2001. And so today we're taking it to another level. We're going to do it on such a phenomenal level. I just can't wait till we get started. In June, we are going to establish our national online classroom. Okay. Wow, and it's been a long road to get to where we're about to go, to get to this point to even say that. In 2013, we did a mass educational drive where we just really flooded through surveys, the internet. And we're located in Decatur, Georgia. Atlanta metropolitan area is our base. And so we would have to literally go out to churches. And I want to thank one church, Cascade United Methodist Church on Cascade Road, actually under their minister who has now left, Reverend Boss. That sort of became our home. They opened their doors and said, whenever you want to hold an educational seminar, you don't have to worry about pay or anything. This was their give back. So that was truly a blessing. That they opened their doors and they allow us to have these educational seminars. And as we were doing surveys across the country, someone came and they said, someone emailed us and they said, can you do this online? And I said, I guess I could, you know. And I looked and I said, but we could do it, but how, I guess we do could, but how do you do that? Through a series of events, and miraculous events, I learned online. I became an online educator. I work for two educational systems at this time, teaching online science courses. And I learned this, and I started training for it back in 2014, last summer. And the way I started training for it was just amazing. That's a whole nother story, a whole nother show. And as I got more and more to the training, I was like, wow. One year earlier, someone asked, is it possible? And now I know that it's going to be possible with the knowledge that I started to receive. And now in June, it's going to manifest into an online classroom where we want to educate 750,000 parents every year. And yes, where 750,000 came from. Given number, spiritual given number. Okay. Yes, why we try to raise $780,000 through the whole combination of funding. I was asked, God, what number do we need? And we actually put another, we was thinking about another goal, and, you know, I went to sleep and spirit said, no, you need this amount to make sure that you can do everything that you need to do. And you don't just need a synchronous learning classroom. You need a whole learning management system to really elevate people and the numbers that you are going to reach. And I had a dream, and the dream was spirit telling me, whether you call it Jesus, God, Allah, whoever, but it was a spiritual body telling me that the harvest is plenty for this task. And I was listening to TV, some said we might have inadequacies, but when God calls you to do something, you're never inadequate. Okay, so that was great. So this vision of where we're taking this organization to is phenomenal. We know that we're going to break a lot of chains. We're going to break the chain of poverty. We're going to break the chain of ignorance. And we're going to change our community in the process. You're listening to Classroom DNA with Phyllis Austin, and I am so honored to have you in the classroom today. And we're going to go further into what's coming in June, which is our national online classroom, where we will be educating 750,000 plus parents per year. That is a test. Let me tell you how this all started, and I want to tell you the precursor. You know, I use those terms in science, the precursor. And I've said this story before, but hopefully it really touches the heart of people this time when I tell it. I moved down to Georgia in 1994. My oldest child, we moved into an area north of DeKalb. That's a very, we have to make that statement. We can't just say we moved to Georgia. We got to say north DeKalb. Because what was going on in 1994 in north DeKalb really underscores why this is so important. First, we had this M2M program going on where at that time, there was a lot of blacks in concentrated in South DeKalb, and they were sending their kids to North DeKalb to go to school. And I had no knowledge. I was totally ignorant of all these buses are out here just transporting kids all over the place. First of all, for a high school, we had to catch the CTA back in Chicago. So I'm teaching at Henderson High School. It was a high school back then. It's a middle school now. And my son was attending the elementary school. Excuse me. And two months after he was in that school, and we were on the MM program, we actually lived in North DeKalb. Needless to say that they checked all credentials. They called the management company and really asked, were we on lease at the townhouse that we were renting at the time? And that was interesting. But continue, let's stay on topic here. So 2 months, there's an honors program, and his father and I went up to the school, and they said, your child made the honor roll. And I just could not believe it. I said, Howard, I think it's a principal's honor roll. I think he made all A's or close to all A's. How did he make the honor roll? My son, very intelligent young man, you know, but he's a C student, okay? And they say he made the honor roll. And I said, well, how? And I looked at his spelling. I'm a very observant parent. I'm going to tell you some observations you need to make. But they said, we use approach called whole language learning for reading. It wasn't even phonics. And I was totally perplexed. And I remember saying, he didn't make the honor roll. You know, to me, it was like in my brain, he didn't make the honor roll. This, and when I learned, I remember, and I also remember saying out loud to her after she told me what instrument they used, I said, you know what? I said, you're going to create a lot of kids who can't learn. This was 1994. This was pre the whole cheating scandal. This was pre No Child Left Behind. Okay? The fact is, you're going to create a lot of students that can't learn, a lot of kids that can't learn. Okay? And I knew there was misleading the kids. Make a long story short before we move on. I said to myself, I said, he's going to have to go to another school. When we get home, I did not put my child is an honor roll student at so-and-so high school. And when I told this story, they like, you didn't give credit to your child being an honor roll student. That was definitely not the case. I told my child, you know, he knows he's a bright student. As a matter of fact, he laughed at it. He was laughing at it. And I got to see Fresh Off the Boat one episode where the child thinks he's going to get bad grade. He gets all A's, and the parent goes up and says, well, how did he get all A's? And that was me. I said, they didn't need to kind of relegate that around the Chinese characters, because that was me, an African-American mother who knew about education. I'm in the education field, and I'm like, how did he get all A's? He did. And I didn't put it on there because I didn't want anyone to be misled and to think that they could send their child to this school and this was an appropriate learning tool or instrument for reading. Okay? I did not want to mislead one parent into thinking that. You know, when we read bumper stickers on the back of cars, we think, wow, guess what? My child, I'm going to see what's happening at that school. And whatever they're doing must be great. And I knew that was not the case. So, I knew that. And that was 1994. I was offered a job, but because I signed a contract in the cap, I could not fulfill that other contract. Later on, I called the people. I said, I need to come work for you. And I said, one thing that I want to do is make sure I want the privilege, making sure my child could go to any school that I selected. And I started, they said, okay. Being a science teacher, we had a lot of pullback then. Everybody wanted us, especially if you major in science in your undergrad field. And I went over to that school district, and I started pulling. I want parents to listen to this, to determine what school I wanted my child to attend. I started looking at ITBS scores. The AWA test of basic skills, ITBS scores. Okay? Now, let's backtrack. As an educated parent, the one thing that you will realize, you will have access to resources, whether it be financial resources or people resources, to find out how schools work. If I look at my phone today, just like I have friends who are attorneys, I can call people and I say, I might not know about that, but I have some resources to find out. And a lot of parents out there, they don't have those resources. Okay? And so until we educate the parents, so we're not going to give them degrees, we're not going to say you now have a bachelor's or a master's, but the person who has that and have the resources, who can make those decisions, who always had the privilege, okay, we're leveling the playing field, because now we can teach you about education, and you will have the knowledge, and then you will have an organization to help you understand and to help you create access and assess quality education. Why is this important? Because we know that poverty, education, and family are all connected. When we talk about this campaign, the online National Classroom that's coming in June. And if you read, if you're a Facebook follower, the one thing we stated was let's change our community. This will change our community. And the reason being because families make up community. And when you change, you educate the head of the household, the parent, everyone in that family has greater knowledge. So our task is an awesome task. We're not just talking about reaching one child, and I applaud the organizations that do that. And that was what we saw. There were great organizations out there that mentor, that provide scholarships, that reach children. We said we wanted to take it to another level. We want to make sure that from generations onward, and we know through our data, 2 to 3 generations are empowered when we educate the parents. The poverty rate in the African American community, and just to let you know, there the poverty rate has increased in the African American community. In 2005, the poverty rate was 25.5%. In 2012, the poverty rate in African American community is 28.1%. It has increased almost 3 percentile points. Black families with children under 18 headed by a single mother have the highest rate of poverty at 47.5% compared to only 8.4% of married couple black families. 47.5%. The harvest is plenty for us to educate parents. We know where these parents are. We know where their children are. Their children are in public schools, and the parents are the parents of children in public schools. And when you educate parents, parents with lower poverty levels earn lower incomes. Parents with lower education levels earn lower incomes. So who are the parents in poverty? The parents with the lower education levels. They are the ones who lack the resources, lack the knowledge, okay? So those are the ones we're reaching out to. It's not exclusive. It's a target market, okay? However, if you like me, that so-called one who has access to knowledge, then you will probably say, well, my child is getting a good education, and that's not true. Because, unfortunately, all parents, a significant number, I'm not going to say all in terms of 100%, but I'm going to say a high number, and all I'm using between that 90th percentile, all parents need to face reality, especially in the African American community, where 60%+ of our high school graduates graduate on an 8th grade reading level or below. 60%+ graduate on an 8th grade reading level or below. Parents, you, whether you know it or not, you are being misled. And you need to take action, and you need to do soul searching, but more importantly, you need to exist and look at the reality of how your children are being educated. They may or may not be getting a quality education. But you have to look at reality. So what was my reality as I decided to make that statement? How in the world did y'all go from a C to A student? The reality involved 2 steps. One, just being observant. Discussions with my child. Did he deserve an A? Yeah. Monitor the child interactions in environments. Yeah, his A. But when I looked at his schoolwork, there was no way. And if all 3 don't line up, someone is not telling the truth. Someone is being is being the messenger of the untruth about my child's knowledge, skills, and abilities. Okay? Because I saw his schoolwork. Now, they weren't having enlightening conversations. They weren't monitoring his interactions within the home and in the community and having these conversations. So I couldn't, and I'm looking at his schoolwork. If you would come to me, you would have said, well, you know, his schoolwork is a little bit above par, but we talk and he just has so much knowledge. I know he's a student. That'd be fine. But to say whole language approach, which was an instrument to elevate read scores and to mislead, was disingenuous and it wasn't right. And we know that poverty, education, and families, when we educate the mothers, okay, then everyone in the household, family members and all, are educated or their knowledge level increases. And when we attack the parent to help them attain the knowledge and to help them make better educational decisions, then we're starting to break that poverty, because those children receive a quality education. They're going to have a better quality of life. They're going to go on and have other children. I'm going to tell you, this is reality. My grandbaby, bless my grandbaby's heart. My son said to the young lady, said, you know, the young lady said, that's the mother of this grandbaby, said, that's a great school. And my son, I was so proud of him, said, well, they only are concerned with me basic standards. I was like, whoa, and we have to think like this. So what, I'm educated, he's educated, and now the grandchild is going to get a better education. We're meeting 2 to 3 generations when we're talking about educating the parents. You're listening to Classroom DNA with Phyllis Austin. Our call-in number is 347-855-8603. Again, 347-855-8603. Feel free to call in. We're going to have limited commercials because this is a very important move for us to move to online education and to educate 750,000 parents per year. So, now we have to look at, I want to inform you how we got started. This was really all came about in 2000 when I decided to go back and get my education leadership add-on certificate to be an administrator. And I started putting these thoughts down. And as we get so far into the program, the IRB process, for those of you who know about that, and for those who don't, just put it like this. As we get so far into finding out what project or research I'm going to do to enlighten our community, a professor started looking at my work and said, you should make that a reality. And I said, okay. So we kind of started the organization. And the first thing we did was question ourselves about quality education. Why weren't the students learning? What was the big issue? And we actually were going to move the organization toward more of an after-school tutorial program. And my husband at the time helped make up these great surveys. They were 4-page surveys. Because people are like, you want to get people to fill out 4-page surveys? Yes. Yes, they are. So we went to South DeKalb Mall, and Dr. Johnny Brown was the superintendent of DeKalb County Schools, and we were at Columbia High School at the time and a couple other places. And we were also out at Stone. Well, I think we went to Stonecrest Mall later. I'm not sure if it was in that same time frame. But we sat down, and we spoke with parents. We listened to their concerns. We listened to their passions. We had them fill out the surveys. And what we found out was parents did not know what quality education really was and what it looked like. Parents did not know what quality education was and what quality education looked like. Now, I would tell you this. There are two ways to get a quality education in the school district, in any school district. One, if the school board is going to deliver quality education, you will get a quality education. The other, if the parent knows what quality education looks like, how to create it, and get help creating quality education for their child or accessing quality education, then your child is going to get quality education. If neither one of those exist, then your child is not going to get quality education. It's simple. And more parents are coming to the realization that their child is not or has not gotten quality education. Let me tell you how they come to this realization. It tends to happen later on in the child's educational career from K to 12, and it tends to happen in the 11th grade, 12th grade. So, Ms. Austin, what is taking place in the 11th or 12th grade that parents realize their child is not getting quality education? Well, when the child has a 3.0 to 4.0 GPA, especially at 3.0 to 3.5 or 2.8 to 3.5, and they cannot get a scholarship. Generally because, for the most part, they don't score well on the ACT or SAT, okay? Sometimes they don't even get into their school of choice, okay? And then there are times, when the parent realizes that the child is so far behind the reading skills and everything that their GPA has really been based on more of the electives, the fun courses, instead of the core courses. So what really elevates the child to that 3.0, 3.2 GPA is not that they were doing really fantastic in those core courses. It was because they were doing somewhat, but those little electives, so a lot of those electives kind of put them over the top. And now the parents saying, well, you can't get a scholarship? You're not doing well on the SAT or ACT? But you did well on, but you're not doing well on that test. They're not reading that level. And then when they get the report from the SAT or ACT, they look, oh, my God, my child's in the 40th percentile. Wow. 40th, or the PSAT, when the child, that eighth and ninth grade test, when they take the PSAT, they realize the child is in the 40th or 50th percentile. This A student is now in the 40th percentile or the 50th percentile of all the kids on their grade level who has taken this test. Going back, that's why I looked at the ITBS, and I've told parents, when we start educating parents, I need to see ITBS scores. Let's go to a commercial break. Feel free to call in. The call in number is 347-855-8603. Again, 347-855-8603. And we are in the fundraising mode for our national online classroom. Please donate. And later on, let's go to a commercial break. And we'll come back and talk about that.
Hello. This is Phyllis Austin, founder of the National Parent Education Center. When I first started this organization, I wanted to make sure that parents understood what a quality education is and what it looks like. Do you know that most state constitutions only provide for an adequate education? Here at the National Parent Education Center, we help parents create and receive a quality education for their child. Please support our efforts by making a $5 donation. You may donate more, but please donate. Visit tnpec.org and donate now. Thank you.
Welcome Welcome back to Classroom DNA with Phyllis Austin. We're talking about our national online classroom, that's going to start in June. And we're in the midst of our fundraising, and I always like to give something for fundraising. So when you go visit tnpec.org, we do have fundraising items. You can call it fundraising, you can call it a donation, but if you a certain amount will get you a bag, a book, and of course, if you want to, the bag is great. It says, "I have the power to create my destiny." It's a book bag. The book is from Parent of Power, my number one selling book. And of course, we at other levels, we will come in and online. I should say online. We will do full seminars for PTAs and schools, parents and schools, and different things. So please donate. It's always a good time to donate. You can donate as little as $5, $1, whatever. We do not discriminate against the dollar bills. Okay, thank you. Coming back, returning to what we were talking about, I was saying that most parents don't realize that their child has been poorly educated until really the 11th and 12th grade. I call it when the rubber hits the road, everything is thrown at the child, and now they have to, especially for those children who decide or really believe they're going to college, and they will have the scholarship, the financial support to go to college. And the first realization is when they can't even get into college that they want to attend. And usually it's because of the SATs or ACTs, okay? Right now, the chance of a low GPA keeping you out of college slim to none, because we have done... When I say we, I'm saying in the educational arena. I'm not referring to our organization, the National Parent Education Center, but I'm talking about in the education arena. We, and I am in the educational arena, from the Department of Education at the top all the way down to local schools, to some local schools. And let me just say that. I used to say if a child gets a quality education, a public school, trust me. It's because of the local school. It's probably not because of the school district, okay, or the state. But going back to my original comment that I was going to make, we in education have done a phenomenal job at misleading parents. We have lowered grading scales. Yes, grading scales have been lowered. I tell people if your child is on a grade scale where a 90 is an A, trust me, you're probably experienced grade inflation or it's not a true A. In some school districts, we don't have a D on the grading scale, okay? You only have a C. So you go from an F to a C. That causes all types of problems, especially even if they get in college. Then they think this same amount of effort is going to be rewarded with a C or better, and really it's going to be rewarded with a D, depending on the grading scale. And with that D probably comes loss of a scholarship or academic probation, depending on the circumstances. So we have done a phenomenal job. We have tied federal funding to meeting a standard. And what has that proven? You're talking about the APS cheating scandal. Let's talk about 2013, because the APS cheating scandal really broke in 2009. In 2013, 40 states admitted that educators cheated in the last 2 years. So we have done our job well in misleading. When I say we, now I'm going to say not I, but the education field has done its job well in misleading parents. Okay? States across this country, they no longer give the ITBS our test of basic skills every year. So you don't know what percentile. You may only take it 2 years. A child may only take it 2 years between K and 8th grade, 1st and 8th grade. Now, what's so important about the our test of basic skills? Because when parents come to us, I say, I need to see your child's our test of basic skills test. And I can tell how they rank across the country with other peers, because it's a national test. The test tells you if you have 20, if you're in the Avis percentile, the 20% of the kids on your level who took the test are scoring above you. Okay? If you're in the 40th percentile, then 60% of the kids who have taken the test on your grade level are scoring above you. If you're in the 90th percentile, then only 10%. Okay? We start monitoring that. Our test of basic skills from K through 8, PSAT, another norm reference test, 8th, 9th, and 10th, SAT, ACT, 11th, 12th. We already know if you're going to get a scholarship, academic scholarship, before you're even in the 11th or 12th grade, we're following the percentiles. Okay? We're not going to tell you that, or state's not going to tell you that. I want to tell you that, the National Parent Education Center, because we educate, and we're going to help you. So we're going to tell you that, the National Parent Education Center. But other ones are going to do what they do best. They're going to keep changing the test. They're going to keep giving you a test, okay? Every day, every week they're going to change. Every year they're going to change. And you're going to take this test, you're going to take that test. Well, that's not working. Let's give you this test and that test, because we're going to try to find an instrument that shows that we are teaching you or that you're learning. Okay? We're going to find an instrument, because to them the teacher is incompetent, the test is incompetent, that's the wrong test. Let's make our own state test. But even if we make our own state test, we're not going to compare with other people within the state. And we have control of this. We're not going to compare with other people within the state, the other students are taking the test in the state, to tell you how you rank. Because we don't want to tell you how you rank, because then we will be responsible for educating you. Okay? So you wonder why. How the poverty rate in African American community goes up. How does that happen? How does that happen? The poverty rate continues to go up. This gap continues to spread because we don't want to deal with the real issue. Okay? If we cannot, if we don't have enough money, then we really can't educate. So the schools being the facilitators of a quality education, no. And the money we do have that we're going to throw toward quality education, guess what? That's only a small amount. So now the foot determines the size of the shoe. Okay, so we're going to tell you how many people can educate, how many people we can really give a quality education to, and then if you don't fit into that number, guess what? Your child's not going to get quality education. More importantly, here's something that we may tend to do. We're going to say this CRCT or this criterion reference test is so important, we're going to give it to you every year, because what it really does is talk about school improvement. And well, the school is doing, not the students and the expectations, whose expectations, really? But what we're really going to do, we're going to say, okay, look, we're going to give you the CRCT, criterion reference test. It says you have to take every year, but, there's a but, if you want to get into the high-quality academic program, bait and switch, now we want to look at your ITBS or your Stanford 9 scores, your norm reference test scores. The game that educators play. Why? Because states are strapped and companies get tech companies, higher demanding tech companies that demand a greater educational workforce to come. We have to show that in this locality, municipality, this school district, children are learning. You can call this venting, but this is the state of education. And it's going to continue to be the state of education for a long time, but it doesn't mean it has to be the state of education for you. Because when you look at this number, most households headed by single parents are headed by women. If we educate the woman, guess what? We educate the family instead of just the child. Let's go after the parents. And that was the decision we decided to make in 2001. The National Parent Education Center decided that we would educate parents, because when we educate the parents, we reach all the family members. And when we educate the parent, we reach generations. generations. So now we're not pulling out one child to educate, which when that child grows up, they no longer want to be involved with their siblings because their siblings are probably ignorant and they're not raising their children right. Okay? No, we're going to educate everybody because we educate the family, the parents, we educate everyone. And then we still will have family members speaking with family members, interacting. Our families become stronger, communities become better, poverty decreases. When we educate parents, we have better parents, better schools, and better learning. Okay? So that's what we are about, and we want you to support, fund, whatever you want to call it, donate, funding, buying some great products, but we need money to make this a better reality than we, a better reality for many, because we're talking about educating 750,000 parents per year online. Now, what does that mean? That means that we're looking at beginning June, the last week in June. We only got 2 days between a Monday and Tuesday night. One of those nights we're going to be on, we're going to open up, and we're going to have a massive education session every Monday or Tuesday night, depending on the day that we're going to select, okay? And we're going to educate parents. And we want our system to have to legitimize that number to where we can have 5,000 participants or a webinar, okay? So the funds tells us how many people we can have there at that one time participating, listening, and commenting, okay? And then we can always come back and put out documents to Q&As and everything. So we have a massive job to do. Because when you look around your community, look at your neighbor, look over four neighbor houses. I tell you, look at the houses, the home structure. When we talk about, when you look at this statistic, okay, and the statistic is, as I stated before, the statistic for poverty in the African American community has gone up since 2012, okay? It has gone from 25 to 28. That means basically every fourth house, there's a person in poverty in the African-American community. Less than every fourth home, there's a family in crisis. And stop thinking that it does not affect you. It does. It does. You have to listen to Classroom DNA with those. Also, we're going to do part two. Next week, we're going to talk about the learning styles and different things that you need to know. And I'm in that generation where I have grandbabies, okay, as they are being born. And your grandmother, your job is not over because sometimes our children have a lot on their plate and we are the ones that have to get in there and say, hey, I heard this. Let me help you. That's the reality of where we are. I thank you for listening to Classroom DNA with Phyllis Austin. This is our website. Donate now is always a good day to donate. $5, $10, $25. Donate $3,000. Hey. our number, our website for donations is T as in Tango, N as in Nancy, P as in Paul, E as in Echo, C as in Charlie.org, TNP. TNPEC.org. You can also go to GoFundMe/educateparents. Thank you for listening to Classroom DNA with Phyllis Austin.
Hello, this is Phyllis Austin, founder of the National Parent Education Center. When I first started this organization, I wanted to make sure that parents understood what a quality education is, and what it looks like. Do you know that most state constitutions only provide for an adequate education? Here at the National Parent Education Center, we help parents create and receive a quality education for their child. Please support our efforts by making a $5 donation. You may donate more, but please donate. Visit TNPEC.org and donate now. Thank you.
Classroom DNA, show topics and information, text TNPEC.org to 23559. Again, for Classroom DNA, show topics and information, text TNPEC.org to 23559.